Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, July 17th, 2013 edition of the SANS Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm recording from Stockholm, Germany. A little bit first from today's diary. One thing I regularly do and sometimes post about is what I find in my web logs when it comes to attacks against web applications. And I usually do recommend that web developers, system security people and such do regularly review their web logs for just these attacks, even if they don't work, at least to know what people are trying and why you need to defend against these attacks. One thing, however, I do realize is that many of these attacks that we are seeing in our web logs are really very benign and probably won't even work. So where are the more sophisticated attacks, in particular when it comes to attacks like a SQL injection, for example? Well, one thing that's not captured in your web logs typically is the content of post requests. So post requests are not captured, and with that you miss a lot of the attacks. The one way you typically do capture post requests is with intrusion detection system or a web application firewall. However, in that case, the request is only captured if it matches a signature. You could, of course, easily write some custom scripts or add additional logging to a web server to capture all post requests, but even that's not the right answer because post requests can be very large, so you may have a denial of service issue here, and they may contain personal information like username and passwords or credit card numbers for that matter that you really don't want to log. So my question here is if anybody has a good solution to log all post requests but in a sanitized manner, so where, for example, personal information is removed or at least masked out. If you are aware of a solution like this, please let us know, of course. And then, of course, we got our usual pre-release leaks ahead of Black Hat coming in. And one that was particularly interesting was an attack against Verizon femtocells. These femtocells are essentially small cell phone towers that you can buy and put in your house to cover gaps in cell phone reception. Now, the thing is that anybody with a cell phone, with a compatible provider, will be able to use this femtocell. So if you happen to be close to a house that uses a femtocell, you may be actually using the femtocell, not the official cell phone tower. The reason that risk is sort of supposed to be mitigated is that a connection from the femtocell to the cell phone provider that usually goes back via a DSL or a cable modem link is secure. But then, of course, that's not easy to do if the actual hardware is sitting in someone's house and they have access to manipulate the hardware. And that appears to be the problem here. There are not a lot of details available at this point, but Verizon did release a patch for the vulnerabilities. The problem is that many other providers use identical hardware and probably have the same problem. And this really reduces the cost of these kind of attacks a lot. These devices cost only about $250, so that's all that's needed for someone to intercept cell phone calls. And in a posting to the full disclosure mailing list, a number of vulnerabilities were disclosed that affect several ASUS routers. If you are using any ASUS routers, take a look at the link in the show notes if your router is affected. There are links, for example, that would allow the remote attacker to remove credentials from your system that are not stored adequately protected. The quick fix here is to remove any kind of remote admin access from the device. Of course, there may still be attack vectors using an internal system via something like cross-site request forging. And finally, a good reminder from HiC Security about a password security on Android. Turns out if you do allow Android to back up your passwords with Google, that will back up your passwords in clear text. So anybody having access to the Google backup of your phone or device will have access to all your passwords. Apple, interestingly, doesn't really offer this function. You can only make backups with your passwords if you store them on your local systems. Then those passwords are encrypted with a password that only you know. However, the rest of the iCloud backup that Apple performs is not encrypted, and we have talked in the past about software that is available to retrieve these backups, given that an attacker knows the username and password for your iCloud account. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.